Go ahead and take your Bible and get ready to open it up. But I wanted to show you something this morning. When I was putting this together, and God was kind of laying this on my heart. Right now, it's in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas is getting it. And what got my attention was this Hurricane Patricia, and that came over. A lot of our hurricanes in America come up from Africa, come up the Gulf of Mexico. This one came over across the Pacific Ocean. And they categorize hurricanes, you know, Category 1, Category 3, Category 5. 5 is the highest. When you get sustained winds of 180 miles an hour, you have a Category 5 hurricane. This one broke the system. This one had sustained winds of over 200 miles an hour. Okay? I want to tell you, so I've never felt a wind probably more so than 30, 40, 50 miles an hour. In 200 mile an hour wind, you're uprooting trees, buildings. You're tearing everything in that path. We've seen tornadoes and the damage they do. Multiply the biggest tornado you've seen probably times 10, and that's what you have in this storm. And so this storm was a record-setting deal, and they were telling on the news here, the local news a few days ago, that storm was going to come up and it was going to impact us. We're going to get probably some of this rain about it, and none of us are going to complain. We need the rain. Amen? Need the rain. But I just got me thinking about a storm coming, and I've done this before. I see patterns. I see in the universe that we live in, I see an artist who designed everything. Some people can look at a painting and say, well, that's a Van Gogh, that's a Rembrandt, that's Michelangelo, that's Da Vinci, that's Salvador Dali. They can look at those and they can tell, and they're experts and they're trained because they can see certain things in that painting. I can't necessarily do that. I like to listen to classical music. I'll turn a classical radio station on. Me and Matthew used to do this a little bit. I don't know if I ever did it with the girls, but we'd turn classical music on and try to guess who wrote it. Okay? Because every composer had his own little unique signature, things that he included in all of his music. It's even that way in some of the current music today. You can tell who's singing it, who writes it, and who does things like that. This world, in spite of what science and all the scientists are trying to tell you, this world is not a mistake. This world is not an accident. It was not something that 13 billion years ago or 1 billion years ago, something accidentally happened and flew out of the sun and it was planet Earth. It didn't happen that way. God created the universe in 6 days.
Amen.
And see, if you believe in God, you don't have a problem believing that. Okay, and some would say, well, what about the age of everything? When Adam was created, he wasn't a baby. He was a full-grown man, the Bible says. God created man in his image. And so when Adam showed up on the scene, it was the sixth day of creation, and Adam was the last thing that God created. I don't know if you know that or not, but out of the list of everything that God created, Adam was the last thing. And when Adam had the breath of God blown into his lungs, he opened his eyes, looked around, and the earth is already in shape. It's all ready to go. God had planted a garden in the midst of Eden. He put Adam there to dress it. And that's the way it works. That's the way it happened. And some people don't believe that. They think that it was evolution. They think it was random chance. And that's what they think. Here's your problem. The more we learn and know about the universe and about our world and about us, the more we recognize that it had to be something deliberate, not accidental. There are too many very, very complex systems that are operating in your body right now that have no explanation for being there. And no way they could have just happened. Let me ask you a question. Let's ask a reasonable question. If I were to take an old, remember those manual typewriters? Remember back in the old days? Take a typewriter, 3 million pieces of paper, and I take it out, lay it in the front yard of this church, and say, in 1 million years, that's going to write a book. Now, why don't you believe that? That's stupid, okay? Well, that was the easy answer. Somebody's got to put the paper down in the typewriter, right? And you think somebody's got to hit the keys, and then somebody's got to hit them in the right place at the right time, right? Besides that, how long do you think that paper is going to last out there in the front yard? Not very long at all. Sun and wind and rain will blow it all up. See, that's the universe that we live in right now. It doesn't make anything. It destroys things, but doesn't make anything. And everybody knows that. So you have to have intelligence. You have to have somebody who designed everything. Now, I got a verse I'm going to show you a little bit later on, but twice when God was speaking to Job in the book of Job, it says God spoke out of the whirlwind, which is what you see up on the screen. Okay? Now, I want you to take a look at that, because you have seen that before, maybe in a smaller way. All right? So let me show you this. Go ahead. Come on, help me out here. There we go. Let me show you that. See the spiral in that storm? See the spiral on that snail shell? Did you know that there is a ratio in that spiral? Okay? It's 1.618, and then it just kind of goes out from there. There's a known and a given and exact ratio for things in this universe that have a curl to it. And I'm just going to show you some pictures. Can we have picture day here? Yeah, let me have my fun. Then I'll get serious about something, all right? So you see it in a hurricane, see it in a snail. It's the same one. It's the same ratio. Doesn't matter how big or how small it is. It is the exact same ratio. So compare these two pictures. One is a hurricane, and one is the largest thing that we know of in the universe are spiral galaxies. And 99% of the galaxies in our universe are shaped exactly like this, with the exact same ratio. Okay? So let me put it out to you like this. I've used this illustration before. If you're walking down the sidewalk and you see a penny, you reach over and pick it up, somebody dropped a penny. You put it in your pocket. Okay? Exactly 10 feet down the sidewalk, there's another penny. And now you're thinking, somebody's dropping change out of their pocket. Somebody's got a hole in their pocket, right? You bend down and pick it up. Exactly 10 feet later, there's another penny. At this point, your mind is recognizing a repetitive pattern, because that's what we do. We recognize things that repeat themselves. So you bend down and pick it up, and you're going, my own candid camera. Because somebody's putting pennies down exactly 10 feet apart, and you don't see who's doing it, but you don't think that accidentally three pennies drop and land exactly 10 feet from each other. So you know what you're going to do next? You're already looking 10 feet ahead for the next penny, aren't you? Here's another one. You walk down 10 feet, here's another one. And you keep going, and you keep going. And finally, after so long, you're going, okay, who's doing this? Because I want you to look at these two pictures. Accident does not make patterns. There are no two cars in the junkyard alike. There are none. So what you have to do is you have to look at this and say, who's doing this? How about this? Exact same pattern. Doesn't matter if you're dealing with a storm, galaxies, or things on this earth that God has put on this earth, they all have the exact same ratio. It's called the golden ratio. It's called phi, which is a Greek letter, P-H-I. It's called it's called God's ratio is what it's called, because it shows that somebody is putting pennies every 10 feet on the sidewalk. Somebody designed this. You've seen this before, right? Do this. Make a fist. Now look at your fingers and how they curl in where you, and where your thumb goes. It's the same spiral and the same ratio. Seahorse's tail and the elephant's trunk, when it curls, makes this exact same pattern, the exact same ratio. Whether it's a ram's horn or the bottom of a pine cone, which we've seen hundreds of those, right, in our lifetime, pick up pine cones. Never thought about that spiral being there, but it's there, and it's the exact same ratio. There's more to this that I'm not even getting into this morning. I just wanted to have fun showing you that you have to ask the question, who's doing this? Right? The chameleon's tail, a plant, even a rose. Even grass, if you let it grow enough, you'll see a tube come up out of the ground. And when you look at that grass, it folds around inside that tube at the exact same ratio. The dimensions of an egg follow that exact same pattern. So does a forming embryo. This is reason 187 why you should hate abortion. That's not a woman's body. It has different DNA. It's not part of that woman's body. Somebody say amen. And you have to ask the question, who's doing this? Even non-living things that are made in this universe have the exact same pattern, same ratio. You've seen helicopters or airplanes fly through the air and leave that curl of wind. It follows the same pattern. Ocean waves, from where the wave is breaking, coming down into the water, it's the same spiral, it's the same ratio. Even water going down the drain. I can just see some of the kids going home, flushing the toilet and say, Dad, God did that. If you look, where's Uriah? Is he downstairs? I was going to try to get a picture of him. Uriah has on the back of his head that exact same pattern. Because God said, even the very hairs of your head are what? Numbered. You have to ask the question, who's doing this? Who's doing this? How about this one? Your ear follows the... And by the way, does anybody know what this is? Huh? That's the cochlea. That's the ear canal. That's how you hear. There's a trumpet inside of your ear, a hearing trumpet, that takes the sound from out here, the sound waves, and it brings them all in and makes them dense so that it goes through there into your ear and vibrates your eardrum so you can hear it. Some of you don't hear it as well as you used to, but it's the same principle. Same invention. Nobody ever went to buy hearing aids and asked how many billions of years it took to manufacture them. Nobody does. Because we know that things that are useful in this world were given to us by somebody's hand. Somebody's mind put it together. Somebody's hand formed it. And there are patterns. And this is just the tip. I could go into the skeletal system of the human body. The ratio is in my hand, it's in your arm, it's on my face, it's in my body. The length of my arms to the length of my body is the exact same ratio. Everybody, no matter how tall they are or small they are, normally, I'm saying normally, there are exceptions, but normally, their body has the exact same ratio. A 4-foot person has the same ratio as a 6-foot person and a 7-foot person. You want to see a 7-foot person, have my sister bring her kids in here. Them boys are huge. Here's why I'm saying this. Take your Bible, turn to Nahum chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1. Now we're going to preach. That was fun, wasn't it? I like that stuff. I do. That blesses me. Because I asked, who's doing this? And I know. I know who's doing it. I know who sent a storm across the Pacific Ocean. I know the one who created that storm, who made that storm. I know the one who speaks out of that storm. Now I want you to think about that, because we're going to see the verses. In fact, here it is. Let me go to this now while you turn into Nahum. Job 38:1 and Job 40, verse 6. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Twice in your Bible it says that God, when God spoke, He spoke out of a whirlwind. Anybody remember what took Elijah up into heaven? It was a whirlwind. What did the disciples hear on the day of Pentecost? Rushing mighty wind. Hearing. Your ears shape that spiral. Your cochlea is shaped by that spiral. By the way, the keys on a piano and the keys on an organ follow the same ratio. The notes that we just sang this morning, they all have the same ratio connection one to another. There's not anything in this universe that God did not make, and there's not anything in the universe that God made that God did not put His signature on. That's how you know God made it. Amen? That just amazes me. By the way, your DNA, you hear me talk about DNA all the time. Your DNA is rolled up like a scroll, and it has the same dimensional ratio to it. The smallest thing in the world and the biggest thing in the world, they all have the same signature. God made it. Somebody say amen. So I want you to consider in your mind this morning, God speaking out of the whirlwind. Okay? There's a storm coming. We are going to get the rain from Hurricane Patricia. We need it. Bring it on. Amen. Even so, come quickly, rain. There is another storm coming. So you help me this morning. You pray for me so I can preach this right. Okay? Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. I want you to look at verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. It mentions it twice. God gets revenge. You listening? God gets revenge. And He's furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. Heavenly Father, I ask Your help, Lord, to preach this message. I don't know how to do it. So, Lord, I'm going to rely upon Your Word. I'm going to rely upon, Lord, what You said. And I pray, dear God, that this would encourage or help somebody. And Father, we know for a fact a storm's coming. Not just that hurricane. God, there is a far worse storm on the horizon. And Lord, help us, dear God, to, with sober eyes and sober thoughts, dear God, help us, Father, Lord, to see it, to know why it is, and God, to know what to do about it. So, Lord, give us help, give us understanding. Lord, open our eyes to Your Word today. Lord, help me preach today in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. A couple things I want you to see out of this. Number one, the Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. Do you know what it takes to be an enemy of God? Be born. Because you are like your father Adam. You are like your mother Eve. You will sin. You will from the moment you're born, from the moment you're conceived. David said it best. And he said, I was in iniquity, was I conceived. David knew it. He realized from the moment of his conception in his mother's womb, he was born doomed. He was born a sinner, and so are you. Don't listen to this garbage from the world that says, well, I believe children are born good, and they're taught evil. No, 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 no. Anybody that's raised children know that's different. Amen? Amen! We know how wicked we were. We know how wicked our children are and our grandchildren. You're not raising little angels. You're raising little devils. Amen? They need to be trained. They need to be taught. They need to be chastened. But when you live in this world and you disobey God, disobey His commandments, God said don't steal, you stole. God said don't lie, you lie. God said don't commit adultery, you commit adultery. God said don't covet, you lust. That's what we did. That makes us enemies of God. We're at war with God, and the Bible promises us that God is going to win the war. No way out of it. But He said in verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. You ought to be glad that God is slow to anger. Amen? You ought to be glad that He builds up anger over time, but it takes a long time to really trip God's trigger. He is slow to anger and great in power, and he will not at all acquit the wicked. Does anybody know what the word acquit means? When somebody is hauled into court and they have charges against them, and they bring a trial about, and they say to that person, you know, here's the evidence. We think you're guilty. His defense attorney says, no, 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 he was over here. You try to prove it. And all of a sudden, like O.J. Simpson, all of a sudden now the jury comes out and says, he's not guilty. They have acquitted O.J. of murdering his own wife and her boyfriend. They acquitted. And by the way, that's over with. O.J. Simpson can write a book saying, if I did it, which he did. He wrote a book called If I Did It. After he was tried and acquitted of the crime of killing his wife, he wrote a book about it. And he can get away with it, because the court found him not guilty. He's been acquitted of that. Isn't that wrong? You think they ought to let O.J. Simpson just run loose and do whatever they wants to? God's not going to let you either. If you think that you can rack up charges on God's list of your life and then think that when you get to heaven, God will feel sorry for you with those little puppy dog eyes and acquit you of what you've done, you're wrong. He will not acquit the wicked. You are guilty as charged. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. I mentioned Job earlier. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. I want you to think this morning while I'm going through this about storms of life. Has anybody ever endured storms of life? Okay? I want you to think about that. And we're going to look at what's now and what's coming. Those of you who have faced the storms of life, you're still here. You know what that means? God brought you through it. But God didn't make it go away. He brought you through it. That's what he does. So I want you to think of where God has taken you and what's coming down the road. Now, listen, people, there is a storm. Let's look at America. There is a storm coming to America. Not this hurricane that's coming up. There is a storm coming to America. In fact, in many ways, it's already here. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 5. Have you ever heard that phrase, they shall reap the whirlwind? You ever heard of that before? Here's the neighborhood that that verse is in. Here's the context of it. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Now let me stop here and explain that. You know what calf he's talking about? They made a golden calf. They made an idol. They worshipped the wrong God. They were worshiping the wrong God. And so he says, thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. And let me explain this down on a level where you are. You say, well, I don't worship idols. I don't make idols. I don't have anything to do with them. But let me say this to you. If you have carved out an image of God in your mind that is different than the God of this Bible, you worship a false God. You're worshiping an image of God that is not true. Because you're saying to yourself, I made a deal with God years ago that I could do whatever I wanted to. I could drink and I could take drugs. I can run around and chase women or chase men. I can go get in bar fights. I can do whatever I feel like doing, as long as when I'm fishing on Sunday morning, I look at the world and how pretty it is, and I look up to heaven and say, God, thank you for making this. And some people think in their minds that that's the limit of what they're going to do for God, and they're going to say, God, you have to accept that, because remember, we made a deal. I've heard that come out of the mouths of people before. Me and God have my own thing going. No, you're just lying to yourself is what's coming. And you're trying to deny the very wrath that's going to come down on you one of these days. Verse 7, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. By the way, I didn't include this in my notes, and I was thinking about it last night, but I'm just going to mention. You remember Hurricane Katrina? 10 years ago. Okay? You know what was going on in that exact place, New Orleans, Louisiana, 10 years ago, right before that storm coming? The Sodomites every year have this humongous get-together down in New Orleans, Louisiana, and they have it at the time that Hurricane Katrina was coming in. Now, if you don't think God had anything to do with that, then I'm just going to ask you, why are you sitting here in church this morning? Listen, God is always in the storm. He's always there. He always brings it about. And I want to tell you something. If you were to name the top 10 most wicked places in the United States of America, New Orleans, Louisiana would be right up there. Might even be number one. Because of the wickedness that goes down there. And you're thinking, well, Mardi Gras takes place every year, doesn't it? You know what Mardi Gras is supposed to be? It's supposed to be the precursor to a religious observance. Because in Catholic theology, they say now on Ash Wednesday, we're going to be real somber, and we're going to pray, and we're going to give up all these sins that we commit every day. You know what they do on Fat Tuesday? They commit all the sins that on Wednesday they're going to give up. By the way, that is not Bible Christianity. So here God sent one of the most powerful storms the United States has ever, one of the most destructive storms the United States has ever seen, Hurricane Katrina, right on top of those guys while they were sodomizing each other down there. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. But now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel where therein is no pleasure. He said in Isaiah 28, verse 1, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Let me stop right here. Let's talk about America for a minute. How many households in America do you think have Budweiser in the refrigerator? Or Michelob or Miller or any of the brands? How many garage or basement refrigerators have a stash of whiskey and beer in it? How many homes do you think in America has alcohol in it? And if you want to sit there and think, well, Jesus drank wine, listen, don't say that to me about two or three times. Because what you're saying to me is that you think my Savior was a drunkard and He made everybody else drunk, and you're a liar. You ask any alcoholic sitting in this room this morning, anybody watching online, and they'll tell you, we don't believe Jesus made anybody drunk. We believe He saves drunkards. Amen. How many homes in America do you think have a stash of marijuana in it? And I'm not talking about trailer parks and North St. Louis projects. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how many homes in America, in the suburbs, in the county, down in the towns and down in the little villages and down in the farm areas, how many you think, how many households, how many people do you think have a little stash of marijuana laying around? This is a drunken country. And they've already legalized marijuana in two states in this country. Listen, people, in 10 years' time, they will legalize heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine. Because you know what America is starting to get to the point to? Well, why not? Everybody's doing it. Most people in jails, they're there because they had drugs on them. If we just legalize drugs, that empty out the jails. Well, that's solving the problem, isn't it? But this is how this world thinks. I promise you, if the Lord tarries His coming, 10 years, I don't make predictions, but 10 years' time, may not take that long, this nation will legalize most forms of drugs. This is a drunken nation whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. We call that flag Old Glory, right? It's losing its luster. People trample on it enough, and now all of a sudden, the flag doesn't mean anything anymore. It's the way they did the Bible. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which is as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Let me tell you something. There is a storm coming. And I'm going to show you what I mean here in a little bit.
They shall cast down to the earth with the hand the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. The glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. Here's what I'm getting at. He said he had a mighty and a strong one, who has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm and a flood of mighty waters overflowing. I think that's the Antichrist. I think that is the man of sin. I have this little idea about the beast, the Antichrist. I think he is the fruit of everybody's wickedness. Does that make sense to you? Let me ask you this. If 1 week from now, all of a sudden, a majority of Americans, including politicians, business leaders, school teachers, just factory workers, and even pastors, if a majority of America fell on their face and wept before Almighty God and fasted for days and said, God, please forgive this nation. God, please send revival to this nation. You think God would do it? I do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's what God said. Amen? So I believe in the fruit of revival. That if all of a sudden this spirit blew through this country and people everywhere started praying and fasting and asking God to forgive us of our sins, God, don't turn us over to a wicked nation. I think God has saved America. So if you believe in the fruit of righteousness, then believe in the fruit of wickedness. The probability is most people in America won't be fasting and praying and repenting a week from now. Most pastors won't either. We're going to continue in our sins. We're going to continue to declare our sin as Sodom and hide it not. So you know what I think is going to happen? I think God is going to give this country the fruit of her doings. And that is the storm coming. You believe that? Isaiah 29 verse 2. He speaks of Ariel. Ariel is Jerusalem. And he says in verse 3, I will camp against thee round about and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise force against thee, and thou shalt be brought down and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the... By the way, the spirit of America is no longer the spirit of Christ. If you have noticed that, do you agree with that? Say amen. If the spirit of America is not Christ, then it is a Antichrist spirit. It is a familiar spirit. There are churches all over this country that are following a devil in the form of a familiar spirit. The spirituality of America, there is a spiritual growth in America, but it's not Bible Christianity. It is a different spirit. And this is what he's talking about. In verse 5, he said, moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible chaff that passeth away, yet shall be an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with an earthquake. See, when we know this. When we're outside, and the sun's shining, everything's nice, and all of a sudden, off in the distance, we hear thunder. What's the first thing we do? We look up and we go, where'd that come from? Because we know that if we heard that thunder, more than likely, there's something coming. Let me ask you people this morning, do you not hear the thunder? Have you not stood up and looked to see where the storm's coming from? Because it's coming. Let me put this on an individual level, because really, when God was kind of shaping this in my mind last night, that's where it ended up. And I want you to ask a question this morning. I want you to listen to me. Everybody sitting in this church, everybody listening online, everybody out in Kenya, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me real good. I'm not your judge. I don't know what you do outside of this room. You and God know. Is it possible that someone listening to my voice right now is about ready have the fruit of their wickedness come to pass in their life? A storm's coming, and you're not ready for it. I saw images this morning down in Texas, 4 inches of rain just dropped just like that on them. There was even a locomotive train that was laying over sideways as a result of it. Do you really think that you're going to survive? He said, "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord with hosts, with thunder, and with earthquake, and with great noise, and with storm and tempest, and the flaring fire." So I'm going to ask you this morning, you're listening to my voice, whether you're sitting here, sitting online, listening to on the internet later on, do you think that because of the sinfulness that you have in your life right now, do you not see a storm coming? Jeremiah 23. I know this is pretty small. Why don't you go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 23. And I've got just a few more places to go this morning. But I want to lay it out to you this morning. I want to help you. Did Noah know there was a storm coming? And he believed God, didn't he? By the way, you know how God speaks? You know how the Bible says God speaks? Sounds like thunder. Okay? Consider this morning, as we're reading the Word of God, consider this your thunder warning. Consider it this way. Because when I read the words that are on your Bible, that's God. And when He speaks, it sounds like thunder. So consider this your thunder warning, that a storm's coming. And if you're not ready, you won't make it. Jeremiah 23:12. "Wherefore their way shall be unto them slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Now I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria." This is now to the preachers. Or let me say this. This would be to you if you think that it's from God, that nobody else hears and it's not in the Bible. What do you mean by that? I'm talking about these people that have made their own deal with God. "Well, I was hungover one morning, I was out fishing, and I just said, 'God, I believe in you. Let me keep my beer and my whiskey. Let me keep running around with women. Let me keep smoking my dope. Let me keep ignoring your word. And then I'll get to go to heaven when I die. Sound good? Sound like a good deal, God?' And you heard something, said, 'Okay, that was it. Acorn fell out of the tree,' and you went, 'That was a sign right there.' You're the prophet of Samaria because you think you heard from God, but you didn't." He said, "I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord." In verse 13, he said, "I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and people to error. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness." You know what that is? As a preacher, will not preach against sin. He'll tell you how good you are and tell you how rich you can be and how happy you can be. Just perform these little seven psychological mind games that he gives you, and he won't say a word about your sin. There, he said, "They're all unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." That's why I said to you this morning, if you think you've struck in your own bargain with God and God lets you keep all your sins and it'll be okay with Him, you're wrong. You're wrong. God would have to cast His own Son away as nothing if God went around Him to make a deal with you. Because I'm telling you, the Bible says there is no other way but Jesus Christ. Can I hear God's people say amen? Verse 17, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." You know what it is? You heard the thunder, and then somebody said, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's not going to have anything to do with us. That's not even going to be near us." Famous last word. Verse 18, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard His word? Who hath marked His word and heard it? Behold," verse 19, "a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until He have executed, until He have performed the thoughts of His heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly." And I think we're there. There's a storm coming. There's a storm coming to this country. It's going to sweep over and destroy this nation. And if you're not right with God, you'll be destroyed. So I don't like that kind of preaching. That's the only kind of preaching there is nowadays. That's the only kind we need right now. We need to sober up. We don't need more money. We don't need better health. We need Jesus. We need repentance from sin. Somebody say amen. The whirlwind is coming. A grievous whirlwind. And He said, "I'm not going to stop until I'm done with what I'm put out to do." Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 31. "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth." Where do these storms come from, by the way? They come out of the oceans. And the ones in the Gulf of Mexico, the heat generated by the Sahara Desert in Western Africa, when it moves out over the Atlantic Ocean, that heat pulls up huge amounts of moisture out of the ocean. And as it goes across the warm waters of the Atlantic Ocean, it just keeps energizing and becomes more powerful and more powerful. And by the time it reaches the Gulf of Mexico or Florida, or even South Carolina, North Carolina, there's no stopping it. Same way in the Pacific. They come from the coast. This Bible's right. Amen? He said in verse 33, "And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth." Can you imagine a day of slaughter that is so bad that there will be an endless line of dead bodies laying everywhere? You, as far as you'll be able to see, you'll be able to see dead bodies. That is, if you live through it. "And the slain of the Lord shall be that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, nor gathered, nor buried. There shall be dung upon the ground." You know what that means? The wild beasts are going to come in and just eat the bodies up, because there's not enough people to bury the millions and millions and millions of people that are going to die. This Bible's right. Well, I'm going to drive it home for you this morning, all right? Should pay attention to the word. In Psalm 18, verse 4, "When the storm comes and the whirlwind comes, the floods come." What are they dealing with in Texas right now? Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana. They're getting hammered. Our hope is that we'll get just the outskirts of that rain come Tuesday and Wednesday and kind of water the ground a little bit, wash the car. But we're not down there where they're being pummeled by it. And the rivers are rising quickly. I want you to think about that. And he said in verse 18, "The floods of ungodly men made me afraid." There's a theme in the Bible that shows you the symbols of the Bible. When it talks about floods, here it's identifying the floods coming as the floods of ungodly men. Let me ask you a question. Who's running the political structure in the United States of America? Is it godly men or ungodly men? Some of you are going, "Yeah, and they're all Republicans." And the rest of you are going, "Oh, they're Democrats." Truth is, they're both. You believe that? Say amen. The political control in America is being run by ungodly men. The political control in the state of Missouri, even though there's a majority conservative, still ungodly men. Reg Kelly told me, his brother, I think it was his brother or somebody, his family, was a state congressman who tried to introduce a bill in the Missouri State Legislature to outlaw alcohol beverages from being in the state house in Jefferson City. And this was on the news several years ago. I remember seeing it. Our congressional hall in Jefferson City is one of the largest consumers of alcohol in Jefferson City, Missouri. Distributors back their big trucks up and unload bottles of whiskey, wine, beer into our halls. They ought to outlaw that. I believe if you ought to be a congressman, you ought to be sober. Wow, Mike Hoggart's a radical. Good grief. Let me ask you this. Do you think at the top levels of what's called Christianity in this nation, it's being run by godly men or ungodly men? Ungodly men. So what is that? Now let's talk about the entertainment industry. Is that run by godly men or ungodly men? The music industry. Ungodly men. Country and Western. There went some of you. You think it's okay to sing songs about going to somebody's bed with a marriage? Or drinking? There's nothing right about that. That's ungodly men. And it's everywhere. The influence of ungodliness is far stronger than the influence of the Bible in this culture, is it not? So here we go. Now this is where you are. This is where you are right now. He said in Psalm 90 verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. The wickedness that is in place in our country is like a river rising. And at one time, watch this now, if you drive up Highway 55, go across Joachim Creek, it's very down right now. The water stays inside the boundaries of that river. If you go to the Mississippi River right now, you'll see the water down. The water stays inside the boundaries of the river system. What happens after the storms come? The waters no longer stay inside what? The boundaries. And they start taking over. I have lived in this community majority of my life, and we used to cross Buck Creek 2 to 3 times a day, every day, going to school, coming home, going to church, coming home, going to the store, and coming home. And all those years, I've never seen that creek even touching the bottom of the bridge there off of 67. And this year, we got so much rain at one time, it ended up killing 2 people. They were trapped in their cars. It came up so fast, it destroyed everything. I took Sterling down to that river bottom there where Dad used to wash his truck all the time, and we just kind of took an estimation from the bottom of the creek bed, which is dry right now, up to where we could see the water line, had to be what, 20, 30 feet? 30 feet high wall, and it killed 2 people. You know why? Watch this now. Listen to me real good. So I'm going to show you something up on the screen here in a minute that's going to make you think. Why did those 2 people get killed? What happened to them? My mom went to church with a gal down at DeSoto that when the Joachim rose down there a couple years ago, an old woman thought she could drive across the bridge and live. And she died in her car. Now listen to me good. Here's what you think. You think that iniquity in this nation increases and it starts spilling out of its boundaries, you think you can make it. You think that even though it might affect you, it won't destroy you. Then you'll end up like this. How many times when we have a rainstorm do we hear of somebody driving in down the road now? Because the water's not supposed to be on the road. The water's supposed to be in their boundaries. Well, let me tell you something. God's causing it to rain wickedness in this nation right now. And the level, and they're going out of their boundaries, and it's rising up over every, and that verse said, thou carriest them away as with a flood. The flood is the wickedness in this nation. and you think that you can drive through it and go through it and it'll be okay, nothing will happen to you. I won't be like those stupid people on the news. I'll just go faster.
I did that one time going out to Richwoods one time down there at Fletcher, Missouri. If you've been down that way, you know what I'm talking about. They've since built a big bridge. But at that time, you had to go through a low water bridge in Fletcher, Missouri. And I did this one time, and it scared me so bad, I said, I will never do this ever again. If I see water on that road, I'm not going. Because I almost lost it. One time is all it took for me. I don't drive through water rushing across the road anymore. Neither should you. They tell you that on the news every time. Now, there's flash floods now. You see water on the road. Don't try to drive through it. And there's always somebody caught in the middle of it. And they're lucky if they live. And let me tell you something. The iniquity is moving into our homes. You think we're going to survive? You think as the water rises that we'll be okay? You won't be if you're not in the ark. The ark is Christ. Don't tell me that you can stop floodwaters with your bare hand. You can't stop floodwaters and you can't stop sin. Can't do it, can you? So, you know where Roy does not go on Friday nights? Pool halls, bars, taverns, liquor stores. He doesn't drink NyQuil for his cold. Doesn't eat Jack Daniel's chicken at the Chinese restaurant. Right? You know why? He can't swim in that. And he knows it. And you think that with the rise of iniquity that's going on, probably even in here, you think that you can just push it away and you'll be okay. It won't work. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. The only thing that's going to stop that is, by the way, here's the Spirit of God right here. Here's your ark. This is as the days of Noah, isn't it? Here's your ark right here. So here's what I'm telling all the church people first. Okay? The waters are rising. Protect your homes, men. Protect your families. Men, protect up here and protect here first. Amen, fellas? Protect here and protect here first. Get in Christ because you can't do it on your own. Then protect your family. We're going to protect this church from the rise of ungodliness that's coming up. Amen? Now here's the good part. What destroys the world is what's going to save us. Because we just keep going higher and higher and higher.